everyone, welcome to F1 Explains. My name is Christian Hugill. This is the official Formula One podcast that exists to delve into the detail and explain the sports we all love. My teammate on this podcast is Katie Osborne. Katie, what's it like being my teammate? I'm intrigued.
Put me on the spot like that, Christian.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, but you sort of have to say that, don't you?
No, it is. You are a troubleshooter. You get things done. You do not hog. In this, do you guys have that phrase?
Yeah. That's hogging things.
You're not like a ball hog or a mic hog. you get your work done. I mean, truly, and you are encouraging. And by the way, you also sent my daughter a very nice robe, and that's just because you are on my team, and I just love that. Thank you again. You're a great teammate.
Going back a bit, yeah, about Katie's daughter, a little Christmas present, a little cute robe. Does she like
it? That was so nice. Yes.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad
but
about
no,
that.
You're a great teammate. And I think, you know, even today I was joking that I'm really glad that we're talking about teammates today because you troubleshooted audio problems and I couldn't figure it out and you helped make it happen. And producer Chris, by the way, he's also a good teammate.
That is insight into the behind the scenes of this podcast. Me and Katie worked together as teammates to fix Katie's slightly dodgy microphone before we started recording. And here we are, Katie. Now we can talk about the relationship between Formula One teammates, which is a topic that lots of people want to know more about. F1 explains f1.com is our email address. You can record a voice note or send an email to ask us anything you like about the sport. It's what Sally from Newport Beach in California did. And her question about teammates is, I know every car has an onboard camera which is recording every lap. Do teammates watch each other's onboard footage to see if there's anything they can learn?
On a similar note, Alberto asks, is it common for teammates to have two different setups on race day?
And another teammates-related question from Sarah in Oklahoma. She wants to know, who chooses which side of the garage? Does it change from race to race, or will one of them always be on the left and one of them always be on the right?
And Christian, if you remember too, way back when, it now seems like in 2023, when we had our live show, there was also a question about teammates there in person with somebody. So this is an ongoing question, and they're all great questions, but we did think the best people to answer them would be a pair of Formula One teammates, as much as Christian and I as teammates would like to help answer it. Sticking with the F1 teammates is a good thing.
Yes, and they're infinitely more interesting than us, aren't they? So we decided to go to two actual F1 teammates. Valtteri Bottas and Zhou Guan Yu are in their third season racing together at the KIK Sauber F1 team.
So Christian and I sat down with the guys at a race weekend to find out how they managed to have such a good relationship, both on and off track.
Valtteri Bottas, Zhou Guan Yu, welcome to F1 Explains.
Thank you.
Hello, how are you doing?
Well, welcome back, Zhou, in your case, and Valtteri making your debut, so welcome to
rookie,
the podcast.
A rookie in the seat here.
It's a big day for me.
Checking lots of boxes.
Yeah.
Joining us here on F1 Explains. Now, of course, this is one about teammates. You guys have now had a couple of years under your belt as it relates to racing with each other and against each other and in partnering up with each other.
Well, how would you describe your relationship as teammates? Valtteri, you've been through a few teammates in Formula One. Zhou, Valtteri's your first. So how do you describe, Valtteri, starting with you, your relationship as teammates?
I think we make a good team. I feel like we have good respect. We can really work together in terms of the setup.
By the way, they are sitting right next to each other, so...
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
Exactly. As he's saying that, just
people
be aware.
Are feeling the love in this team, so it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're a really good team. Like, there's never been any friction whatsoever. And, yeah, of course, we always want to race also against each other. But at the same time, we always know the priority is to work together for the team and get those points.
And Zhou, from you, I mean, coming into the season, he was your first guy to lean on. Was he pretty stable for you as a teammate?
Yeah, very stable. I mean, you know, when I came to here that first year with the team, obviously, Valtteri was coming from winning multiple races, you know, fighting for championship and pole position. So I knew that there was a perfect, like, a benchmark for me to learn. And, yeah, he was, I think, rather than that, experienced fast driver, he was also willing to help me a lot just to get me up to speed as a rookie driver, because rookie to Formula One, there's not a lot of time these years to be, you know, getting yourself settled in this sport. You have to be honest. So Yeah, we show a massive, let's say, progress together, just mainly him helping me my debut season. Now we can really like push each other along, which is really nice for the team. And also the atmosphere, you know, the respect really just comes from fun time. So really happy.
And even now, a few seasons in, how much do Formula One teammates focus on how the other is performing over the course of a race weekend, Valtteri?
Of course, you're always looking up each other, you know. I think the main thing is with the telemetry, with the data, there's always things you can learn from your teammate, because yeah, no driver is the same, you know. Everybody has their strengths, their weaknesses, so there is always going to be a certain corner or area of the track that one of the drivers is faster, and then of course you try and pick up those things and learn, and that way you can both improve.
Yeah, when you take a look at that data, I mean, both of you guys have strong driving abilities, right? But the cars also, in connection with your driving abilities, how closely do those align? Or do you say, hey, I think we can piggyback off of the other and what they did out there on the track, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, of course, every driver have different driving style or the driving, let's say, preference of the setup. So
yeah,
we sometimes start the same setup and just try to go one direction or the others, but like, or sometimes even started with slightly different, just so we can see what's the best, let's say, compromise between the two. And yeah, not every race that you have the exactly the same setup of the car, because it really depends on your own preference. So I do feel it's great to have, me and him doesn't really have a massive difference on driving style. We do have a little bit of different setup.
What are those differences, would you say, from your point of view? What you got on Valtteri in that regard?
I mean, it's really more in final details, you know, the way, let's say, for example, I hit the brake compared to what he does is slightly different. So that like minimal difference makes a big difference in terms of how the car behaves for the corners. So it's such a final details we're chasing in Formula One, right? So yeah, these things really just helping. And I think the good thing is that now we know each other for a long time. So we really felt, you know, this will work one way or the other. So we can be more, let's say, precise. Pre-set-up working baseline to start the weekend.
And now you guys come across that you get on well, and not just as Katie said earlier because you're sat next to each other, but even watching you on the TV over the course of a race weekend, it seems you get on well. A really great example of that, and something maybe a little bit unusual, was at the, I don't know if you guys remember, the 2022 Brazilian Grand Prix, and it was during the sprint where, Joe, you were behind the then Williams driver Nicholas Latifi. And Valtteri, you could see what was happening and radioed the team to say, tell Joe to attack into turn 10.
I love this story, by the way.
It's so cool. And Nicholas was braking early there. So, Valtteri, you were passing on information to Joe through the radio to help him overtake. How do you balance that with helping each other? But also, we all know, in anyone who's ever spoken to a racing driver or heard an interview with a racing driver knows that you guys want to beat each other as well. Because of course you do, because you're racing drivers.
I love that they both nodded at the exact same time, and that yes, we do. Yes, we do want to beat each other as well.
Valtteri, how do you balance that?
It is natural as a driver that you want to beat everyone on track, including your teammate. But there are situations that you need to put the team result first. And in the end, our job is to get as much points as we can for the team. And there will be situations in the races that you're on different strategy, you know, that you're basically not anymore even competing each other if you're, you know, just have different approach to the race. So then if that's the case, then of course, then you're more than happy to try and help as much as you can if you are already kind of out of position and if you have small chances. So it's better for one car at least scoring than none, you know. So, but yeah, it is, you're always balancing that out. And I've been in many situations in my career having to be in a support role and stuff like that, and it is sometimes hard to take, but makes you tough.
But I guess whether it's a support role in something like Mercedes, where you're going for a constructors championship, or whether now you're in a team like Sauber where it's such a tight midfield, there's got to be times where you guys have got to work together just to get constructors points, because that's what gets the team money, isn't it? And that's what gets the team, you know, that you guys focus on the drivers championship, but I know your bosses want the constructors championship.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, you know, as much as we are kind of a racing driver, we want to beat each other to be the best as possible on this paddock, on the grid. You know, for us as a Sauber team, I think what's important is that we don't have occasions very often that two cars, you can be easily fighting for points or fighting for even podium. Of course, we want to get to the podium at one point, some stage of my career. But, you know, in general, like, there's some cases, for example, in 2020, 23 season, like in Spain, Voucher was helping me in order to back up a little bit other people in different strategy, and then I was doing the self for other races. So we need to work as a team to compromise the best in the team points, because that's what will help us moving forward. That's what will change a longer term story in terms of how we get this, you know, future development, if we can beat other teams on the Construct Championship. So like Voucher said, you know, it's occasions that the team points is more important than who's finishing higher, you know, on track. So
well, Joe, you talk a little bit about your braking differences, and of course, and then I kind of wanted to get your insight. What do you bring to the table as it relates to a teammate that might be a little bit different than what he's putting out on the track?
It's really, I think, actually very subtle differences between us and our driving. Like the setup barely differs at all. It also depends on some of the tracks, I would say. I've always considered myself quite a smooth driver in terms of the motions, the steering inputs and stuff. There's not one fundamental big thing that I can say is different between
us.
Yeah,
okay. And of course, this is a podcast where people from the F1 world who enjoy you guys, love your hats, love your outfits, love what you guys put out.
Valtteri's wearing a fantastic hat, we should say, at this point. It's a really fantastic
hat. It has a saber in it, actually. A small mini saber that is magnetized to his hat as well, just to be very clear.
Correct.
And Joe, of course, rocks the fashion often anyway, so no need to necessarily nod into that. Anyways, people, send us their questions about whether it be a particular topic, teammates. And listener Sally from Newport Beach, California. Little nod to you, Sally. I come from Newport Beach, California as well. I know every car has an onboard camera. Do teammates watch each other's footage to see what they can learn? Valtteri.
I do watch onboards. I do watch his onboards. I do watch normally, typically, the kind of the few fastest drivers in that session, see if you can find any difference on the lines.
Do you guys get access to all of their onboards?
Yeah, we can access all the onboards, like between sessions. It's actually quite a useful tool sometimes.
And also, another listener question from Alberto. Alberto wants to know about your cars specifically, and we've touched upon this, guys, and you've mentioned that you guys have quite a similar driving style as opposed to other teammates across the grid that might have a bit of a different one. But Alberto asks, is it common to have two different setups on race day in the same team?
Yes, I think that's very likely to have, you know, let's say not all of the time, but half of the races, maybe there will be one driver prefer one setup than the others. And of course, there's so many things that where qualifiers, you know, difference in Formula One. It could be a downforce, it could be a setting on the car. So in general, it's more like what driver prefer. You know, some drivers maybe likes a bit more the fast corners, and driver likes a bit more the technical slow corners, then you have your setup that's going towards that direction. So it's a very, let's say, a common thing to have as a race driver, because I don't expect any team to have the same car for the whole year, because that's not going to be possible.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And we got another one from Sarah from Oklahoma. Now, this is a question I would have thought of too. Sarah, thank you for tossing this one in. Who chooses which teammate gets what side of the garage? Will one of you always have to be on the right or left side?
When I was with Mercedes, they decided.
Mercedes decided,
the order, yeah. Here, right. I think when I joined the team, they asked me, do I want to be on the left or right?
And I you got the coin flip?
I've got always been on the left, so then I was like, can I be on the left?
Okay, so then, yeah. Like, is that the same thing as, like, sleeping on the, do you like the left
asked.
Side?
I don't get asked. I don't even know, like, from other category, normally it goes in numbers order. So, like, the higher number normally starts, like, ahead of the numbers below that, but yeah.
So do you like the right side, or do you wish you were on the left side?
Honestly, I don't mind. Just happy to be either of the side for my rest of my career.
See, this is why he's a good teammate, because Valtteri likes the left. You're quite relaxed, so you can have the left, can have the right. Everything's fine. It's all harmonious in the team.
But does this, like, okay, so this, just offhand question, is this, like, the same thing as someone liking one side of the room or one side of the bed or one side of the road when you're driving? Do you prefer left side driving, left side bed sleeping, left side of, like...
Is everything the left?
No. No, it's not.
Like,
no.
You're a cyclist, right? So I wasn't sure. Okay, just a garage.
Just a garage.
That's the garage,
easy,
yeah.
Easy,
no, otherwise, right. I'm easy. And actually, if I would be on the right side of the garage, no worries.
No, no problem.
You'd survive. Wouldn't be the end of the world. Yeah, absolutely.
Just wondering.
You know, when you guys are in a race, right, do you... So let's say, for example, in this situation, Joe, you're behind Valtteri. and you think at this point in the race you've got a little bit more pace, do you race a teammate differently than you'd race another driver because you see your teammate?
Yeah, we do. I think normally when you're faster, you kind of, you know, you give the feedback to your engineer, and then of course the engineers translate with the people around, and then they'll be give back to you. Sometimes it could be, you know, saying you're afraid to race. Sometimes it could be saying, you know, you have to hold the back a little bit, working together to go forward. But I think one thing is that normally in the race, we often split a little bit the strategies, so we know exactly what we have to do. So sometimes even like we will make like a switch we see quite often in Formula One. So one guy letting one pass and he tried to attack the competitor, you know, ahead, and then if he can't make it, then we have to switch position back before the finishing line.
Yeah. Going back to just when you guys kind of jumped into this together, are there any stories, was there any team bonding? Like, where did you guys go out and go for a walk together? I don't know, walk together, ride together, go for a hike together? I don't know, to get to know each other? Was there a story that goes to that?
I mean, we spend a lot of time anyway, like, before the season, there's all the marketing, filming commitments.
Yeah, thank you, marketing team, for signing you guys up for all that.
Shoots. Yeah. You know, so we actually did spend a lot of time, so there was like no need to organize anything. So, yeah, I think we spent more time together than with families, you know. That's just how it goes.
Valtteri, it feels like we've said a lot in this interview that you guys get on well, and obviously you were known with your last teammate, with Lewis Hamilton at Mercedes, that it felt like you guys got on really well. Lewis always spoke so highly of you, not just as a driver but as a teammate. With that in mind, what's key to a good teammate relationship, would you say? Because you've got probably a bit more experience on this than Joe.
Respect both ways. I think it starts with that. Like, once you have the respect, and it is both ways, then it's natural that things will go smoothly, and that's the main thing, respect.
So you say respect. Something I spot with you guys, albeit in different ways, is you both like your fashion. Valtteri, you got quite bold fashion choices now with the hat. Joe, we spoke before, I think on Silverstone when we met, that he looks great.
Magazine cover.
Amazing. So do you find things to bond with off track? Do you talk about fashion, that sort of thing?
Well,
more into fashion.
Yeah, we don't talk about fashion, but so we talk about all things, like, of course we have like what we wear to the track, you know, sometimes maybe Valtteri goes a bit more crazy than what I do.
But I just respect the mullet, man. I love that you came out strong this year with a whole new vibe.
Speaking of which, we do
this
have
might be
something.
A good time.
Yeah, a little off track to talk to you guys about, particularly you, Valtteri.
Yeah, this is true. I recently had a baby girl. Her name was Olivia.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Congrats. That's not the point. The point is, she popped out with a mullet, and I want to say you have been on my husband's and my mind quite a bit. This is her currently, and it's a nice little business in the front, party in the back.
It is.
And just want to let you know, over the last 6 weeks-ish, give or take a few, it has been, your mullet has been a hot topic in my household. So thank
cool.
you for being an inspiration to many out there, many in the F1 world, but also my baby girl, Olivia. Representing you very strong.
That's really cool.
Never did Katie think she'd be in a position where she has a baby and everyone says, oh, she looks like Valtteri Bottas.
So, but I'm glad.
It's a compliment.
There are others, but I'm glad it's you, Valtteri. So thank you.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us on F1 Explained. Really appreciate your time. And we've spoken how good your relationship as a teammate is. I hope it now carries on after this podcast. Yeah. If you guys now do this podcast and from the next time you start arguing, we'll know we've jinxed
that's
it.
On, so that's on us.
Yeah. We hope everything carries on well.
I think we're good.
Oh, yeah, we should be chilled. So, yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. We so appreciate Valtteri and Joe's time. A huge thank you to them for letting us join them. Christian, it really was fascinating to spend time. I mean, we see two totally different sides of these drivers on and off track, and to kind of have that moment to kind of really get to know them a little bit more, it was really cool to see their personalities come out.
Yeah, really grateful to the team at Sauber for letting that happen, because it's so unusual to sit with two Formula One drivers for an extended period of time and talk about their relationship together, because it is so unique in Formula One, as we just said in the interview, that thing that you've got to work together, but also you want to beat them. And I think they are two of Formula One's most relaxed characters. They're really relaxed. They're comfortable within themselves. And I think that really helps them get on. It's also, let's be honest, and this is no disrespect to the Sauber team, but it's so much easier to get on when you are a mid-table team or a team that isn't fighting for world championships. And I think that really helps.
Those driver pairings, we've seen them in the past in Formula One. Those, we call them explosive, if you will.
We've seen so many of those. And as I say, that leans slightly into what I was just talking about in terms of drivers who are paired together. And then it ends up that both of them have a chance to win races or win world championships. There's been so many explosive driver pairings, too many to mention, but just a few that stick out in my mind. The rivalry between two greats of the sport dominated F1 in the late 80s and early 90s. These guys.
This is the opportunity that Senna's looking for, and he's going through. Out! Oh my goodness, this is fantastic. They beat. This is what we were fearing might happen during the race. And that means to say that Prost has won the world championship. Prost, world champion of 1989.
So that is Ayrton Senna and Alain Prost then driving together at McLaren. And as Murray Walker, the commentator, just said, that crash ultimately decided the 1989 world championship. Now, there'd been tension between the two drivers, Katie, towards the end of the 1988 season. That carried on right up through the next season, all the way to the end, right up until that moment. Prost then moved to Ferrari the following year. He'd often felt that Ayrton Senna was getting sort of preferential treatment at McLaren, which of course they denied, but that can be a sort of sparking point in a teammate's relationship where one driver feels, hang on a minute, the other one is getting more preferential treatment than I am.
Yeah, and we see that in recent years too. I mean, even on the track last year, you have that little, whether it be George and Lewis or what's going down with Sergio and Max. And of course, team orders go into play and someone might feel that little bit of a nudge. Oh, throughout the history of Formula One, there have been some of these issues. Sebastian Vettel won 4 champs at Red Bull. He and his teammate Mark Webber, they didn't always get on either.
No, and it's quite interesting because at this point in his career, go back to the early 2010s, Sebastian Vettel was known for being particularly ruthless. And then he was paired with Mark Webber, who on his day could beat anyone. Mark was a fantastic Formula One driver. So there were fireworks between those two because there were plenty of occasions where neither driver wanted to give their teammate an inch, particularly when they were both right in the battle for the 2010 Formula One World Championship.
Webber's left the door wide open.
Oh, dear, they've come together. Webber and Vettel have come together. That's Vettel going out, Webber going out. What was going on there? Through goes Jenson Button. Ahead goes Lewis Hamilton. The two Red Bulls connect. Out goes Sebastian Vettel. And Hamilton and Button push on for McLaren.
That was at the Turkish Grand Prix. And whose fault that crash was is still debated to this day. Vettel won that season's championship, and that was one of several moments of tension between Vettel and Webber. Again, Mark often felt that Seb was being given a priority at Red Bull. The team insisted that wasn't the case. But Katie, they're good mates again nowadays.
And finally, Lewis and our now good friend Valtteri always seemingly worked well together, but Nico Rosberg, when he was at Mercedes, it wasn't always a smooth sailing, was it?
No, and as with all of the other examples we've just mentioned, where tensions truly start to rise between teammates is when both drivers are fighting for the championship, and that was what happened in 2016.
And it's Nico Rosberg, and Hamilton's onto the grass, and Hamilton's had a massive crash, and he's crashed into his teammate. The two Mercedes come together as Hamilton tried to pass on the inside, and he can cover his hands over his eyes, and he won't want to see that again. We have the safety car out here, but the two silver arrows have crashed on the opening lap. Hamilton takes out his teammate, and there will be a big, big inquiry behind closed doors into that.
That was the start of the Spanish Grand Prix. That was the only year that Nico got the better of Lewis Hamilton and won the world championship. He spectacularly retired after winning that world title, finally bringing to an end a very turbulent time for the two Mercedes teammates, and probably a lot of Toto Wolff headaches in terms of managing those two. Fortunately, the relationship between Lewis and Valtteri was then much calmer. I'm imagining that was good for Toto's stress levels.
Yeah, you know what? And I think it goes back into the conversation of what's at stake, right? Like, what is at stake between the two drivers? Is it a championship? Is it a win? Is it a podium? And that can potentially heighten and intensify the teammate relationship versus, again, maybe what we were talking about with Zhou and Valtteri early on, where it's they want to win their best drive out of a day versus winning the race of that day, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Thanks again to those who sent in questions about teammates. But before we go, Christian, it is time to let people know how they can get in touch with us. And that is a simple email or voice note to F1explains@F1.com. That is what Zoe in Berlin, Germany did. She said, I started watching F1 this year with my friend, and I often watch it with my dad, who used to be a fan back when Michael Schumacher was still racing. My question for you is, what kind of jobs are there in F1 and what qualifications do they have? I would love to work in F1 when I'm older, but unfortunately, I don't know a lot about the different possible jobs. I love your podcast. It has helped me understand a lot of things I didn't know, especially since this is my first F1 season. Thank you so much for answering everyone's questions. I wish you all the best. Zoe, that is so nice.
What a lovely email. Zoe, if you scroll back on this feed to our quickfire special with Bernie Collins and Lawrence Barreto we did towards the end of last season, on those episodes, we talk about some of the jobs within Formula One. So have a look at that. Amu is in South Africa. Amu says, Dear Katie and Christian, I hope this finds you well. I've been a Formula One fan from South Africa for over a year now. And since I found your podcast, I've come to understand most things about the sport I didn't know. I'd like to understand the term wind tunnel. Why does the team that finishes, for example, third, get more wind tunnel time? How is that determined when it comes to which team gets the most wind tunnel time? And how does the wind tunnel time affect the development of the following season's car? Well, Amu, all of the questions that you've asked there are answered in our episode about wind tunnels. Again, scroll all the way back to find it. But basically, teams that finished highest in the championship get less time in the wind tunnel, and teams that finish lowest get more time. Now, the idea is to give teams who finish lower more time to develop their car so they can catch the teams ahead of them, making the entire championship more competitive, increasing the entertainment value in the racing for us fans watching at home. And you asked how much it affects the development of the following season's car. Well, Red Bull had the least wind tunnel time for their 2023 car, and it wasn't exactly slow, was it? So even if you do have the least wind tunnel time, if you make effective use at that time, you can catch up, you can get around it. So I hope that answers your question, Amu.
And finally, Kevin from Georgia, the American state, not the European country for us in this international podcast that we have. I started watching Drive to Survive again after the last race, and all I can look at are strong necks. Thanks, Alex Rossi. Love you guys. And then he had like that emoji with like crying, smiling eyes.
The crying, thank laughing you emoji. That was one of the first interviews we ever did on F1 Explains nearly a year ago, and still people talk to us about Alex Rossi telling us that F1 drivers have such strong necks, they struggle to buy suits. We should also say hello to some other lovely people who've sent us lovely emails. Jim in New Zealand, Richard in Texas, and Chris, a Peruvian, now living in Montreal in Canada. And we've got a fun fact from producer Chris, Katie. I wonder if we're trialling sort of a regular feature in producer Chris's fun fact.
I love this idea.
Take me to your trivia night. There has never been a Peruvian Formula One driver, but a Peruvian driver is racing in Formula 3 this year, Mateus Zagazeta. So maybe he'll be the first. There you go. We've learned something.
I've said this before, but Zagazeta is one of the coolest last names. Some people want two, one Z in their name. He gets two. Zagazeta. What a neat one.
Zach Set, great name. Good luck to Mateus this year. Thank you for listening to this episode all about explaining the relationship between Formula One drivers as teammates. If there's anything else you want us to explain, just email f1explains@f1.com and we will put your questions to our experts. For me, Christian Hugill, goodbye for this week. Goodbye, Katie Osborne.
Goodbye, my teammate, Christian Hugill. Goodbye, everyone else. Thank you.
Goodbye, teammate. Catch you next week. Bye for now.